Just a young gun with a quick fuse. I was uptight, wanna let loose. I was dreaming of bigger things and wanna leave my old life behind.
And we are joined in emergency fashion today on The Scoop by Dan Slabaugh of On the Prowl. Some pretty major news for the Timberwolves here from yesterday. So, Dan, first off, glad to have you on the show in an extra capacity today, because a day that I don't think any of us thought would ever happen eventually did yesterday. Tom Thibodeau no longer the president of basketball operations or head coach. He's gone. I'm guessing stunned is probably a word that you would use to describe your reaction, because that's pretty much where I sit right now.
Wait, Seth, you're not talking about the Wolves letting go of James Nunley?
Oh, yeah, that too.
So, yeah, I'm stunned. And I was... So I went down to Frisco, Texas this weekend to watch the Bison from North Dakota State. I went to the national championship game, as I usually do, if they make it to the championship game. And so, therefore, yesterday I was on the road all day traveling back from Texas, back to my home here in Fargo, North Dakota. And Zach, the... assistant, you know, editor. It's assistant, my assistant at On the Prowl. He gives me a call and tells me the news, and I'm just like, my jaw drops just straight to the car floor, and I'm like, the timing couldn't be any more weird. Two consecutive blowout victories, albeit versus two not super quality basketball teams, especially with LeBron James being out for the Lakers yesterday, but the timing couldn't have been weirder, and I think the only conclusion, the only thing that makes sense, is that Glenn Taylor, he pinpointed January 6th, which was yesterday, as Judgment Day for Tom Thibodeau, it was nearly the midway point of the season. There's 42 games left in the season, so maybe this is the halfway point for him. Maybe you just figured, you know, new week, just, you know, this would be a good time to make a change. And that's, I guess, that's exactly what he did. He was not pleased with where the team is at right now. And his quotes were very interesting, to say the least. And I'm sure we'll talk about that more. But, yeah, I'm stunned. I just did not think that they were going to do this in the middle of the season, that's for sure.
Yeah, I didn't figure that it would ever be anything, as you alluded to, that would happen during the middle of the season. It's so weird to wait until this point and then finally elect to pull the trigger, so to speak. What though, Dan, encompassing the Tom Thibodeau era, what ended up being the ultimate downfall, do you think, for Tom Thibodeau?
Well, he wasn't able to mesh with the young guys as much as we hoped and as much as Glenn Taylor hoped, and he wasn't able to make them mesh as well as, you know, Glenn would have liked. And Karl-Anthony Towns has definitely made strides this season. We know how good of a player he is offensively, and he's also made strides defensively. And you have to give credit to Tom Thibodeau for that. As I've said all along, the keys to the franchise's ceiling is still in the hands of Andrew Wiggins. When he is on and he brings 100% effort and energy to the court, the Wolves are a completely different basketball team. And I've said, you know, that's not new. It's a known fact. And I think Glenn Taylor is trying to make sure that there's the right coach in place to get Andrew Wiggins to have the best opportunity to get to the upside that many of us know that he's capable of getting to. And maybe he decided that Tom Thibodeau wasn't the guy to do that, and obviously there was more reasons for the firing than that. But you know, bottom line, he wasn't able to gel with the young guys as much as Glenn would have hoped, and I think that is might be the center focus on why you know, on the downfall. Otherwise, you know, there was a bunch of little things. You know, he didn't adjust from his Chicago days. He didn't learn from his mistakes and adjust upon them in Minnesota. He's still overworked his players, and his rotations were short, and you know, his temper on the sidelines hadn't changed at all either. When many of us thought we might see a cool, calmer Tom Thibodeau in Minnesota, considering that was part of, you know, that kind of grind, you know, grind it out until you're absolutely gossip mentality in Chicago, kind of got him canned there with Chicago's front office. So, you know, combined with the fact that, like I said, he wasn't just able to quite gel with young guys, and then of course the fact that he, you know, it was clear that he did not improve and learn upon his you know, his weaknesses in Chicago. Those are the two the downfalling points.
I'm glad you mentioned the comments by Glenn Taylor, because they were interesting to say the least, and he certainly had a lot to say, although not involved in the firing itself. What did you think of some of the things that Glenn Taylor said in reacting to the decision to move on from Tom Thibodeau, and also just looking at where this team's at right now?
Well, he specifically mentioned that the Wolves shouldn't have lost to the Hawks, and that was a bad loss, and so that was interesting. And so he took specific examples from games this year where he was clearly really disappointed with the you know, with the outcome of the game and with the way the team played. You know, games versus, you know, like I said, New Orleans, Atlanta, Phoenix, and Detroit, all those four games were really disappointing losses, and ones that you just have to have in a rugged Western Conference where every game is extremely important, considering the parity in the West right now. There's still only about seven games that separate the second seed from the 14th seed, which is pretty unbelievable. And so I think Tom Thibodeau was disappointed that some games that should have fallen our way didn't. And, you know, and I know we like to sit here and blame Tom Thibodeau, and it, you know, there's definitely enough things to point fingers, enough reason why we should point fingers at Tom, but, you know, that you also can't go without giving a little bit of fault to the players. You know, specifically, obviously, I mean, Andrew Wiggins has been a disappointment in his, you know, through his five years in Minnesota so far, and like, and he just he has too much of a tendency to float, which, you know, has really put, you know, obviously, like a stamp on the Wolves and their ability to make that next step as a team. And so I think it really begins and ends with Andrew Wiggins in this next coaching era with Ryan Saunders at the helm. Can Ryan Saunders maximize the production out of Andrew Wiggins? I think you don't really necessarily have to change Andrew Wiggins' game, but maybe you just start with the little things, you know, taking away that mid-range fall away or fade away jumper. You know, obviously try to, you know, maximize his usage rating at attacking the rim, and just you know, being efficient beyond the 3-point line. Just the X's and O's of the game. I think it really, the biggest thing, as we know, is the effort thing with Wiggins. Most of his downfall lies within the effort, and if Ryan Saunders can bring the best out of Andrew, and if Andrew can exhibit that kind of effort every night, then, I mean, we're all going to fall in love with Ryan and indefinitely Andrew as well. So I know what being as an answer to Andrew Wiggins and, you know, Tom Thibodeau and Andrew Wiggins have been, you know, key contributors in the Wolves not being able to quite take that next step. And, of course, Jimmy Butler, the Jimmy Butler situation is, yeah, obviously.
Yeah, that guy.
We try to move on, but in another sense, that is another part of the downfall I did not mention before is the way the Jimmy Butler situation was handled, and I think Glenn was well aware of that, that was handled poorly.
I'm glad you mentioned some things that that you're hopeful to see from Ryan Saunders now as head coach, because I want to bring up a key point is that, you know, Rome wasn't built in a day. A perfect phrase to describe, I think, how this team's going to look different. It's not going to be a situation where they come in and they make sweeping changes. It's just it's too far into the season to really come in and completely tear things down and have it look totally different. But there are some tweaks that that can be made, as you alluded to. And really, at this point in the year, if they can rally and get into the playoffs, yeah, that's great. But the focus now becomes let's make sure we're doing things that that get us set up for next year too.
Right, and it's a great point, like you said, Seth. It's not going to just happen overnight. The transformation of the team and the defensive schemes and offensive schemes aren't going to change overnight. You look for the little things. Can the Wolves start to defend a 3-point line better? And that starts with less collapsing on opposing drives. And again, you know, another thing is that what will the rotations look like? Well, you know, we've known that Tyus and him have a good relationship. And because of that, you know, there has been reports that, or there's been some rumors that Tyus could get some extra run off the bench now. You know, maybe, you know, see an uptick to around 20 minutes a game rather than right now when he's averaging about 13, 14. So that's very interesting. And so it starts with the rotations and it starts with, you know, the little things on defense, like defending the 3-point line. And I think you start with those things. And yeah, obviously it's just going to be interesting to see what Ryan does right away. You know, will he play Dario more than Tom did? Well, considering that, you know, I think Ryan and Glenn are probably on the same page, and Glenn has stated that he wants Dario to, he believes Dario is the future power forward of the team. And, you know, will that transition begin soon with Ryan Saunders at the helm? It might. You know, there's just going to be a lot of little thing to watch. And so, it's not going to happen overnight, but it'll start with the rotations, end-of-game lineup usage, how the Wolves defend the 3-point line better. And so, yeah, I'm excited. It's going to be extremely odd in turning on the TV on tomorrow night and seeing Tom Thibodeau not on the sidelines.
Yeah.
And you know, Ryan Saunders is the youngest coach in the league, age 32. 32 years old, Seth. That is so young. If I'm correct, I believe the youngest coach in the league is 38 years old.
Yep. Walton.
Luke Walton. Okay, there we go. And so he's a whole 6 years younger than Luke Walton. And, you know, the Wolves have some 33-year-olds and Taj Gibson and Anthony Tolliver. And so, you know, that's just some added context for how young Ryan is. He would not even be the oldest player on the team. So very, very interesting. And I've never followed a team that has employed such a young basketball coach. So, you know, if you're a Wolves fan, you're looking for a forward-thinking, modern NBA coach. And I think sort of the hit thing right now in the NBA is rolling with these younger coaches. and seeing what they can do, because the younger coaches seem to be able to adapt a little more than coaches who have their own system and are only going to go about things their way. And so I'm excited for Ryan, and in a sense, and I'll be writing about this in my piece that's coming out on the Prowl tomorrow, but, you know, a few years ago when the Wolves hired Thibodeau, you know, many people thought the Wolves just kept Ryan Saunders on staff for PR sake, just to save some face. No, that was not the reason. They had a plan all along, Seth, that Ryan was going to take over this team, and of course, they, you know, were not hoping for the downfall of Tom Thibodeau. But if things did go poorly, they had a spot for Glenn, or they had a spot for Ryan saved, and now he's going to get a shot. So he has 42 games to prove that he is worthy of being an NBA head coach, and we'll see where we are at the end of this, but I'm excited for the ride, that's for sure.
Yeah, it'll be so great when we're all hoisting the NBA title after after winning out and sweeping the playoffs as well. That's going to be well worth what is obviously going to be a little bit of a weird transitional period here as we now start the post Tom Thibodeau era and move into the Ryan Saunders era as well. So going to be very interesting, as you said, Dan, to see how things play out. We appreciate having you hop on today to give us a little rapid reaction to the news. We'll see how things go here for the first couple of games of Ryan Saunders' tenure, and we'll catch up with you again later on this week.
Hey, thanks for having me, Seth. Appreciate it.